All right.
Well, I just want to welcome everybody in to Hanging with Barrels and Leafs. I am your man, Leo Brown, and to my left, probably your right, is going to be my man, owner, one of the best distilleries that I have been to thus far, my Thank man, you. Mr. Trent Tilden, Thank you. San Diego Distillery.
That's right, that's me.
Good to see you again, man.
Hi.
It's been a little while.
It's been a little too long, I think.
It has been, man. I think it's been like over a year.
I enjoy too.
And it has come around, and you have obviously grown. I have grown a little bit. I don't want to say too much.
Good. Me, us neither, so that's nice. I like that little bit of growth. Controlled growth is nice.
I like the marathon.
Yeah.
You know, versus
the sprint.
Right, versus the sprint. Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like it all comes together during the marathon.
Correct.
Because then in the end, it's like, hey, I'm happy about it. You know?
Totally agree.
So, but no, how's it been, man?
It's nice. Just, we have upped our collaboration game through the roof.
Good.
Where I think we've probably worked with 45 or 50 breweries now in San Diego and, you know, Anaheim surrounding area, including meaderies, cideries, sake places, which I guess we can get to who all these awesome people are. We might be tasting some of this stuff.
I'm ready for that. I'm always ready.
So just it's fun doing a lot of really cool stuff that I feel like a lot of people in the industry are really doing.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that I learned last time about you. Is that you're not doing what everybody else is doing. So that means, to me, that means a lot because I'm such a local guy. I want to make sure everything is local. Everybody gets to know who San Diego is. And to be able to bring all of that together, because there's a shit ton of breweries.
Yes.
There's a ton. And I'm not going to be able to get to them all. I know I'm not. But I like what you do with that because you bring a lot of that together.
Some are even closing before we can even get to them because there's so many which pains me to say because I never want to see anybody close, but it's a fact of the matter right now that there's we're 200 plus and geez, by the time like I even learned about you know one that was down in the Barrio Logan, it already closed.
We won.
Altima. So I can't even remember the name of it. It was like ATMA or ALMA, and the ex-brewer from Bolt was the brewer down there.
Okay.
I think it was Alma. Somebody's going to correct me. I know that, but I just can't remember what it was offhand. Alta. A-L-T-A.
A-L-T-A. Gotcha.
I got a little bit of headache, so I'm a little not quite on point today.
But it's all good,
usually
man.
I know all these good things.
No, because it's so many freaking breweries that are out here. There's almost no way to keep on top of them. Because not only is it San Diego, because I know we have some in Ramona, we got some in Vista, we got some up in Ventura, we got some in Anaheim.
Everywhere.
I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, the California market when it comes to breweries are it's phenomenal. I think I did a research, and you know, I'm from Chicago, if any of you guys can't tell by everything I got on.
All the socks.
but they say that Chicago has the most amount of breweries, and we come in second. I think Chicago had 150. But I don't know if they all are like
the way this works,
legit.
It's all based around what you want to classify. If we're looking at like city,
correct.
County,
correct.
Because county, I think we'd beat everybody like by far, hands down. But you're going to segue perfectly into the first thing we're going to try.
Oh, so we're going to go ahead and get to trying stuff.
Of course, come
I'm
on,
ready.
Right?
I am ready.
So we're talking about breweries,
okay?
And we're talking about how many we had in town, and then we also. Where did all these brewers, these amazing brewers, come from?
Well, let's do this first.
Okay, you tell me.
Because some people have no idea who the hell you are.
Okay,
so
we can do that.
Just
too.
For the recap, for those that haven't seen the first time that you and I got together, tell us a little bit about how you got into the distilling.
Okay, so once again, my name is Trent, and I've been brewing beer. I started brewing beer, home brewing, in a kitchen in about 1998, before I was 21. I had some good friends of mine that were cooks here in town, and they wanted to learn how to cook beer, so we learned how to make beer, and I kind of just ran with that, and then fast forward about 10 or 15 years, and I started doing assistant brewing at Hillcrest Brewing Company, just kind of learning the craft on a quote-unquote large scale versus, you know, homebrew size.
Right.
Brewery. Got a couple recipes down that were there, worked out really well, and then... what have I been doing drinking craft beer this whole time? And then I started learning that this was this hugely peated Islay-style scotch that was just massive. And I said, oh my God, I wasted like 10 years drinking beer. What the hell?
It wasn't a waste. It was a grooming.
Well, yeah, it was a grooming. But so then learning about all this beer, we realized nobody was really making whiskey in San Diego.
Right.
And especially coming from the beer background, nobody was making beer-influenced or beer-derivative style of whiskey. For the lay people who aren't super familiar with what whiskey is actually anything distilled from grain.
That's correct.
And beer is made from grain.
That's correct.
So basically, whiskey is just a beer in a beer format sans the hops.
Yep.
So for people who aren't aware, that's what makes it super simple. So we can use rye, barley. We do rice whiskey. I've made whiskey out of millet, out of sorghum, out of all kinds of crazy things.
Time out. What the hell is millet?
Millet's bird feed.
Okay, got it.
Millet is technically a seed, but it still kind of falls in that family. It's this very little tiny yellow round seed that you commonly see in bird seed.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the old school moonshiners would actually just purchase bird seed.
Really?
And they would mash it, and then they would make moonshine out of a bird seed mixture. Because most of it is seeds that all have carbs, right? All you're doing is converting those carbs into sugar, fermenting that, and then distilling it. So any source you try to convert.
Holy crap, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. And millet is technically gluten-free. Even though we should clarify, all distilled spirits are gluten-free by nature.
Yeah.
The molecule doesn't go through distillation. But some people, I've been told, who are extremely sensitive, small nanoparticles can get through the process, just in the nature, and that they will start seeing reactions to it. But millet is 100% gluten-free.
Okay.
Same with our rice whiskey, that kind of stuff.
All right. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Go ahead.
No.
I had to know what millet was.
No, that's cool. That's a great question because most people don't know millet because it's not something we cook or eat or anything like that. All the other grains we generally use.
Sure.
Rye bread.
Right.
People make barley soup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that good stuff. So.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and pour one and let's see which one you want to start with.
Okay. So we're talking about breweries, right? These badass brewers had to come from someplace. Where did they all come from? They came from Quaff, the largest homebrew club and the oldest homebrew club in Southern California.
Shout out to Quaff.
I think, in fact, on the West Coast. So for their 30th anniversary, talk about local and crowdsourced, I think it was 40 different homebrewers all brewed a batch of a Belgian strong ale, minus the hops, right? So we can call it whiskey.
Why do I feel like I've heard of this?
We all got together. We all did a huge distill day on it, and we came up with this super awesome 30th anniversary Quaff whiskey crowdsourced from 40 different people who all brewed a beer for this.
Wow.
Now, that's cool, and I don't know anybody else in the industry or pretty much in the U.S. or anywhere who has done something that's kind of been a crowdsourced club-based whiskey.
All right.
So this is cask strength. It's 110 proof. Mm. And as we know, we do most of our stuff at cask strength.
Right.
So there's our Quaff whiskey right down the label. 30 years. This aged in some new oak barrels. This was aged with a Belgian yeast. So you get those really big, beautiful, typical style esters that come across in a Belgian beer. It definitely comes across in the distilling world.
It has a little bit of a sweet note on it.
And it's sweet. It's spicy. It's just... It's super, once again, out there for a lot of the weird kind of stuff we make, you know, and it's just, it couldn't be more fun.
Oh, man.
But it's...
This could be a great everyday whiskey. I mean, like, every day.
We sat down with the club and we went over, like, 5 or 6. Oh, and this is like one of their super award-winning recipes.
Yeah.
We wanted to obviously have everybody get together and do one of their award-winning recipes. And we thought this one might translate exactly to what you said. Like one of the best, kind of like easiest drinking, cleanest style whiskeys that everybody would just really enjoy.
Mm. It's definitely crisp. It's definitely crisp. Has a long finish.
Should be some nice vanilla, some nice oak.
Definitely some oak. That. Definitely oak.
Yeah,
there is a sweet to the nose.
Yeah, it's good. In fact, I think this ended up aging. It's fairly young still a little bit. I think it tastes older than stated age. I think it ended up being about 15 months old. But I think it drinks a little closer to two and a half, 3 years, which is worked out really nice.
This is great, man. I mean, seriously, I could enjoy this every single day. This is amazing. And to know, so this company, Quaff, they're still around.
Club.
I'm sorry, Club.
Club, yeah.
They're still around.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when I think of Club, I'm thinking of like, you know, like a little whiskey club, stuff like that, where they send different things out in the mail. Is that what they do? Or is this somewhere where everyone meets up?
This is an actual homebrew club located here. So they have monthly meetings. They all get together. They share their homebrews. They have a big, you know, Christmas party each year.
Mm-hmm.
And they get together, they do brew days and they, you know, that kind of like that, they get together, but they'll go to somebody's house and they'll all brew a huge batch of beer and fill barrels. And it's just, it's a bunch of guys getting together and ladies too, of course, actually.
Yeah.
They have a very large woman contingent. Shout out to Jamie, who actually runs all the events there. And, it's fantastic. It's just, it's super cool. It's a really cool club. So if anybody's interested in brewing beer, Quaff's one to look up.
Women are huge in the brewing industry. They are really coming about. And
can we talk about how good their palates are and how much better they are than men's palates?
No, we can't because it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me. I mean, especially when it comes to drinking like whiskeys and beers. I mean, it's like they pull out the notes.
But not enough people know that women are generally what they call super tasters.
Yes.
Who have more actual, and it's a medical fact, have more taste buds in their mouth than men do.
But it pisses me off. Because I'm supposed to be the guy that does all the pairings, you know?
Well, yeah, me too. And I'm supposed to be one doing all the whiskey tastings, that kind of crap. Right. But when I really need something, I call my wife, Maria. Hey, Maria, I need to come in.
Right.
We got to go over a couple of things. Because I need that core palate tasting.
Well, it's funny that you bring up Jack Daniel's a little bit earlier. There's been, you know, a lot of rumors floating around about how Jack Daniel's got started. Have you heard about it? So, supposedly there was a slave who actually taught Jack Daniel's how to brew. To distill.
There's a picture of this guy in like a group of a bunch of white folk, isn't there?
That's right.
And there's like an arrow that points to him. Okay, I have seen this.
And if you guys check out my Facebook and Instagram page, you will actually see this picture. But there was a woman by the name of Fawn Weaver. She actually did the research, the true research. It was amazing to me what I actually found through her research. The gentleman's name was Nearest Green. That was his name. And the story goes that Jack Daniel's was a kid when Nearest was coming up with understanding how to distill.
Hmm.
So the slave owner of the Daniel's family came to Nearest Green and said, "Hey, I need you to teach my son how to do this."
Oh.
So, long story short is Nearest Green actually developed...
Oh, number seven.
Number seven.
Wow.
Right. He actually developed it. So, and through all of her research, obviously he would have been the first black distiller, master distiller at that. Yeah. But it also comes down is that he was actually the first distiller.
Yeah.
He was the very, very first. So, I mean...
And what was your Instagram site we can see this picture on?
Barrels and Leaves.
Okay. I wasn't sure the name.
So also, Facebook, Barrels and Leaves.
Yeah.
But no, she actually was... She was still is a great woman. A little bit about her is that, one, she was an American investor. She was also a historian, a relationship blogger. She came out with a book called The Happy Wives Club. Which was an interesting story in itself because she was so happy within her marriage that she looked around at some of her other friends and they weren't as happy as she was.
Wow.
So she decided to write a book about having a happy marriage. You know, it wasn't one of those, you know, like a therapist kind of books or anything like that, but just the fact that she was happy in her marriage. But now, of course, she is the historian and... co-founder of the Nearest Green Foundation. So this is pretty nice to see. With it being Black History Month, this was a black female that actually came up with this. She was on location doing a report in Singapore. when she just ran across this information some kind of way.
She didn't get coronavirus.
No, she did not come up with coronavirus. This is back in 2017. But no, I mean, she actually opened the distillery in September 2019.
So which distillery?
It's its own distillery.
Oh.
Yes. So it is actually called the Nearest Green Distillery, and it's in Shelby, Tennessee.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So it is now open. It's 270 acres. It's the first in U.S. history to honor African-American whiskey makers, and one of the fewest distilleries in the world or country owned by a black female.
Wow, holy smokes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was killer.
So, you know, she's done something great. I don't know if you've seen the Uncle Nearest bourbon.
Wait, is that it?
Yes.
I didn't know. Okay.
That is it.
Now there's like dots connecting because I know the Uncle Nearest. I know exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I did not know the backstory for that.
Yep. That's it.
Hell yeah.
That's it. I had a chance to try it. I went to Atlanta and I was putting on a cigar event there. And one of the guys I was with that owned one of the lounges, he said, you need to try this Uncle Nearest. I was like, wait a minute. I said, is that the same one?
Did you recognize the Nearest?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I said, okay. You got to be kidding me. So it was phenomenal. I'm glad that I got a chance to taste it. It's definitely not easy to get here in California. I've already researched that. So you can actually buy it online. If you guys go to the Uncle Nearest site, you can actually go and purchase it and it can be sent to you. So just a little bit tidbit about Jack Daniels as you brought it up.
Awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Killer.
So what do we got next, Trent? You pulled out something, and
I'm just looking at order. What order we got? What order and kind of time we got to taste your stuff? This has been one of my favorite things that we've done recently. Once again, we talk about working with local, trying to do stuff that's fun and unique. And I found a. So we're talking about craft beer,
mm-hmm.
and obviously we're talking about all the malts and stuff that's made, gets made into beer.
Right.
So there's now a huge underground, right? We have beer drinkers, we have the beer makers, and obviously all this barley has to come from someplace. So we keep going down the tier about what's getting craft.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's this huge growth of what's craft malting, craft maltsters, and these small farms that are growing all this beautiful malt. So we found this really amazing small farm ran by Eric, and it's in Michigan, and he grows all his corn, all his barley, all his rye. It's all done right there in Michigan within like 50 miles of his area.
Okay.
And he does all these custom toast levels on everything. So this one is called PV Toast, where he tried to take a bunch of barley and roast it and toast it so that it has a quality not unlike peanut butter.
So this is not going
to be like a screwball style peanut butter,
all right.
Which we all know probably right. by now.
Yeah.
But much more on this very heavy, nice whiskey edge. The proof on this is 128. So you will get some of this really nice characteristic of the grain, and I think you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. While you sip that, we are distilling. I'm just going to check the still real quick.
Yep.
I'll be right back.
This is interesting, you guys. So here's what he's talking about here. Here's all your artifacts. Very interesting. It actually has that liquid peanut butter look to it, which is very interesting. As Trent was pouring it, I could actually see a little bit of the thickness.
And it says oils. Yeah, you see all those oils on that glass.
Right, you can see it start to run down. So that's very, very interesting. All right, let's give it a nose. It does have a little bit of that peanut butter kind of smell.
One of like our biggest, strongest whiskeys that we've, and I don't mean strongest as in proof.
I was gonna say,
like
yeah.
That massive flavor profile. It's just, this stuff is, it's really awesome.
Here we go.
Big fan of this.
I see exactly what you're talking about. It's not screwball type, but it definitely has the characteristics of the, I can actually kind of taste like the peanut.
It's that nutty kind of quality.
Yeah.
Not really like peanut or anything, but this really beautiful nutty roast. This is almost 3 years old, which is really nice. Really nice for us to put something like that out.
Wow.
That to me, I think is a good cigar whiskey, depending on what cigar it has, just because it's, I don't think you could have any type thing that would overwhelm.
One of the things I will say is that we are smoking the McAuliffe Magdalia. And, yeah, this actually goes well, to be honest with you. That's one of the things I tried with the one from Quaff. The whiskey from Quaff kind of overpowered the cigar for this particular one. But this one here so far definitely matches up well.
Awesome.
Definitely matches
I
up.
I like that.
This is great.
Yeah, that one's... So I'm really... We've worked with this farm quite a bit. We've done about three or four different whiskeys with Eric. The malting house is called Pilot Malt House. Once again, found on Instagram. Does really beautiful malt out of Michigan.
So you guys can come down here to 2733.
Via Orange Way.
Via Orange Way.
Suite 1, we are hidden. You can generally cannot find us.
Right. Suite 101. Suite 101.
Very back building. Look for the unit 101. Front door during business hours is unlocked.
Business hours are Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday night, 5 to 9. Saturday, 2 to 8. Sunday, 1 to 5. Yep.
You guys come on down. Check Trent out. Taste these whiskeys that we're tasting now. That's actually phenomenal, man. I really do like that. That is great.
That was fun. I dig that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm loving it right now. So, speaking of pairing a cigar, so my people over at Drew Estate, they have this thing every year. It's called the Drew Estate Barn Smoker. And this is where you kind of go to find out exactly how Drew Estate's making their cigars.
Oh.
Because some of them have like that barn kind of flavor, if you will, because they have one that's called a Kentucky Fire Cure. And it's actually a mesquite that they actually put the tobacco, which is hanging from the rafters, right? So they take mesquite and they burn it.
Oh.
And they get the natural mesquite into the wrapper of the tobacco.
That sounds really tasty.
Naturally. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And it comes through like that mesquite?
It comes through. You actually want to, the way I've always described it is that you want a barbecue, if not, you definitely want to have a Coke, as you normally do, like barbecue, something like that. You want to have a Coke with it? It goes perfect. Perfect.
That sounds nice.
Has all those flavors. But just to let everybody know is that it is happening. Obviously, we know that they have different locations. So they're going to be in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Florida, Kentucky, and I'm forgetting one other spot. One more spot, but
this
I can't remember.
So this event kind of travels around?
Yes, it does.
Oh, cool.
Yes, it does.
Does one come out here?
Never one out here.
Oh,
never.
That's too bad.
It's tough to do anything tobacco-wise out here.
That's true.
We just don't have the climate for it, you know. But the general admission tickets are $100. VIP with the swag is $150, and the Barn Smoker Experience is $195, which that one's actually probably worth it more than any of them. Then you have the All-Star, which is $375. So if you guys want to check that out, make sure you go to Drew Estate and go to the Barn Smokers. You can check them out at drewestate.com, or you can go to the Drew Diplomat app and see if you can get in that way. So, yeah, Drew Estate's doing a lot of big stuff.
Sounds like a fun event.
It is. Yeah. I've been offered to go a couple of times, so I think I might take advantage of one this year.
I think you should.
Yeah, it's worth it.
What's the best city it's in?
I want to go to either Florida.
Is it Miami?
No, it's not in Miami. No, no. I either want to go to Florida or either I want to go to Kentucky.
I just love Florida.
I want to go to Kentucky because then that way I can go ahead and see the other distilleries.
You can go to distilleries.
Right. So I mean,
it's in Lexington?
Don't give me a line. I can't remember. They're in so many states and cities.
I see that. I get that.
But Daniel Marshall, which is another cigar manufacturer, but better known for his humidors. He's actually teamed up with one of the biggest cigar manufacturers, which is the Fuente family. And he's created a cigar, which is the Daniel Marshall 38th anniversary. And this one is pretty big. It should be out on the market right now. And it's coming to 6 3/8 by 52 torpedo. And also, they're... They say that there's 20 cigars that come into the box, and they say that its pricing is still being determined, but will still be less than 2,000. I mean, 1,000. 1,000. That's a lot of freaking money for a cigar, man. But Daniel Marshall makes some great cigars. He has the gold cigar, if you've ever seen it, gold wrap cigar.
Gold leaf. Gold leaf?
Oh. Yeah. And it's something that I have not had a chance to try. They are about $1,500 a piece. So I probably won't get a chance to try them unless Daniel Marshall is so kind that he wishes to send me one himself.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Most of the stars, they always have them. Like Rocky Balboa, the presidents. I said Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, presidents, you know, things like that. So he makes them specially for them. So it's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. So what else we got, Trent?
Are you ready? You still got a little bit of left of that. Were you still enjoying it too much?
I am. I am.
Should we get a couple extra glasses?
How are we? Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get a couple extra glasses going on. That way you can kind of revisit some.
Let us let the people know how much for one of these bottles here.
This bottle is $45.
Okay.
I think we have three left.
Three?
Probably be gone this weekend.
Probably might be gone today. And what about the one from Quaff?
Quaff, same, 40, 45. We have plenty of bottles for that currently.
All right.
Currently. So let me grab us some extra glasses so we can not muddy up too many.
Sure, sure. So while you go and find some other glasses, I'm going to talk about one other thing here. And this is another new bourbon distillery that's coming out, and they're going to be in Kentucky, and it's the first black-owned bourbon distillery by a husband and wife.
Where is this?
This distillery is called Fresh Bourbon Distilling, and they are in Lexington. They're in Lexington, so it's reported that they plan to build a $5.4 million distillery.
Wow, holy smokes.
Yeah. And again, it's called Fresh. So if you guys want to check out the website, it is freshbourbon.com. Go ahead and check it out. Don't check it out now where you're watching, but check it out. Freshbourbon.com. And this distillery was actually, it was established, it was registered in 2017. So they plan on opening up a little bit later this year. So it won't be too soon. But I think the construction is gonna start, like I said, late in 2020. It says it's gonna be about 34,000 square feet.
God dang, that's a massive place.
34,000. But here's the thing is that they're gonna open it up. They're gonna open it up to actually be able to do events. So they're going to have different tasting events and things of that nature as well. The biggest thing that I got from it is that they were given an incentive through the state. And it's called the Kentucky Business Investment Program. So what they did is they approved them for a 10-year incentive deal. And with that deal, what they're going to do is whoever they hire, they're going to start them off at $18 an hour.
Wow.
With benefits.
Wow. That's fantastic.
With benefits. So to me, I mean, that makes the employees want to stay. That yeah. makes them want to stay working.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, but again, I mean, it's a husband and wife team, which I really like to see things like that.
That's cool.
But they say that the fresh bourbon distilling products are mashed, fermented, distilled, matured, bottled, entirely in Kentucky.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. I thought that was a
I didn't know that
pretty
either.
Interesting tidbit. And
you're
again,
bringing me a lot of nice information today.
Again, you know, with it being Black History Month, this is a black couple that's doing it. If you ever, I'll show you since you're sitting here. Look inside the bottle. You'll see the silhouette of a guy and a woman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So this is what the. This is what the factory...
The rendering is going to be.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That is really cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. So nothing is available right now. They haven't started anything, no distribution-wise, that is. So can't wait to see what's going to happen with these guys.
I really like specifically they state, we chose not to buy bourbon from someone else and just put our name on the bottle, which, as we know...
Right.
Happens a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Yep.
In this industry. And a lot of people like to state that they're making things all in-house.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Excuse me. A lot of times it's not happening.
So just a couple of interesting tidbits I found along the way before coming to see you. Because you are a man of knowledge and I appreciate all of your time and not. Without further ado, you have poured us something else.
We are totally switching gears here.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we're going
high octane?
No. We're going something very unique. We're going to an Italian style herbal liqueur. A digestif. This is called an Amaro.
Ooh.
Most people know it an Amaro by either like Campari.
Yes.
Fernet.
Correct.
Aperol, one of those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a long time developing a recipe on the other side of that spectrum that's very, very heavily citrus-based.
Okay.
But once again, very bitter, very citrusy, very sweet. And it's only, and this is actually high, this is high for this style, it's 80. It's 80 proof, so 40%. It's very high for an Amaro,
but it's a liqueur.
It's a liqueur.
Okay.
So it is sweet.
That is pretty high, yeah.
But this makes this very, very drinkable and very nice.
Wow.
Very good for desserts and whatnot.
Okay. All right. 80 proof.
Yes. I'm going to give one more pour over here.
Ooh. Does have like that orangey, zesty kind of nose.
Yes. This uses three different types of oranges. It also uses a massive chunk of pistachios that are actually aged also in the brandy. Oh, I should state, once again, we talk about local
stuff.
This is all brandy that was all distilled from local winemakers. I source a lot of wine from Ramona, from Temecula, from Warner Springs, out from Del Zura. We've gotten wine from all over the place. So it's all brandy that's basically essentially been steeped and then proofed down with our beautiful Art Deco-ish style label.
I like that.
Makes some really amazing cocktails. Our specialty cocktail is a paper plane that we make with it here in-house. A common cocktail known out of New York, out of Death & Company. And it just put on its own. This is a hell of a drinker, and it drinks really nice.
The zest really finishes long on this one.
This is the biggest issue I have with some of the Amaros. Fernet, I know, is such a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a little too... I'm trying to think of... It's a little too minty, almost toothpaste-y for me, which is hearsay to a lot of the bartenders. and then this is way more, like I said, on the citrus side that I wanted something super nice and fun and easy to drink, but to keep a real proof.
Yeah.
A lot of Amaros are between 60 and 70%, and then Aperol is down to like 30 proof. So it's like, I think it's only 18%.
So is this one better for a mixing cocktail?
This is for whatever you want it to be. And that was what it was kind of designed to be, either a straight drinker
right,
or in a cocktail.
Jeez. Yeah, this one definitely, it hit me back here a little bit. As it went down, I didn't know what it was at first. I had to take a second drink of it. But yeah,
But most people aren't used to drinking these types of liqueurs straight.
No.
But then you get them to try something like this, and they're like, oh, smokes, I can drink that.
Yeah, this is not like a Grand Marnier at all.
No, this goes good on ice cream. You can drink it straight. It's good just on rocks. And like I said, it mixes really well.
Did you say ice cream?
Yes.
I ice cream, you scream.
Yes, hell yeah. We all scream. It's great.
Wow. And it's not thick like you would think about most liqueurs.
And I didn't want it overly sweet. That's the other thing. And this is sweet with agave syrup.
Okay. Okay, that's why.
Which also makes it really kind of fun too. Little kick of the sweetness without being overly syrupy.
So it might be the agave that I'm feeling at the end, too.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it's definitely not too sweet like most liqueurs that everyone knows. So this is interesting. Hmm.
This is very fun.
Wow.
Very fun. Good. We're still distilling away. We're distilling a honey blonde ale, once again, from another local brewery from Duckfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Another collaboration. We're loading the books. It's awesome.
So how many, you said 45 that you guys have
45 to 50, I mean, somewhere in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's still growing. Because I think the last time that we saw you, I think
we
were like at 30.
15, 20, 30, somewhere in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think you were at 30.
We've really gotten this good name for knowing that we make some pretty awesome stuff. I shouldn't say stuff. I should say we make some pretty awesome spirits.
Right.
out of what some of these breweries have, maybe sitting around, that, you know, it may not be perfect for what they wanted to do. We just recently picked up some cider from Newtopia, mm-hmm. another friend of mine. Don't realize the diversity that can appear in spirits. You know, maybe when they were in high school having drinks, you know, that kind of thing.
No, nobody ever did that.
That they had some bad experiences, you know, with Cuervo or with JD or whatever. Right. They've kind of sworn off spirits, you know, at some point.
Right.
And we're trying to really show people that you can get back into things, that not everything is like that.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. There are goods to all of that we do. There are goods. So you were saying earlier today that you had a tequila. And I don't know if have you ever done a tequila before?
We have. It usually sells out too quickly.
Really?
I think that's why we didn't have it the last time we were together. Yeah. We were kind of talking a little bit that segment of the market has been exploding.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, the fields are being, as I understand, fairly decimated down in Mexico because of how much demand there has been for tequila these days.
So now, one thing I will say to people, that tequila and cigars normally do not mix. So just going to let you guys know off the top, you're not going to get a absolute review kind of pairing from me right now because it just doesn't mix.
So are we ready for the next one?
I'm always ready.
Okay. So this is another really fun label. Some really cool kind of artwork on this.
This is fantastic. This, to me, this represents Mexico.
And this one's called Sancha, which
means,
it's a slang term, which is really kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
It means kind of like my side piece.
Right.
Or my side something or other, whatever your side wants to be. And so I obviously we're a whiskey distillery and I love whiskey, but I absolutely love tequila. I always have.
Right.
So tequila's always been my side love. So that's why we call this Sancha.
It's kind of like my cigar that I love. It's called the Micarita, which stands for my mistress.
Same idea.
So I need to probably put these two together.
Possibly.
That's what I'm thinking.
So we import all of the agave directly from Jalisco. We do all the fermentation, everything. Very traditional. We use a very traditional agave yeast.
Mm-hmm. Myra said that she loves tequila regardless.
And this stuff. And the one thing, once again, what I like about this is we do this at cask strength. It's at 55%.
Okay.
It's not very common, again, that you come across a tequila.
Right.
And now's the time we have to discuss about what tequila actually means as a word.
So it doesn't mean to kill you? That's the only thing I know it as.
That was the good old days. Tequila is just like anything else, right? It has to be done and made in Mexico, in Jalisco, to be called tequila, just like mezcal has to come from Oaxaca,
but just like bourbon,
you know, same idea. Well, bourbon does not have to come from Kentucky. People always like to say that. Remember, it's an American spirit.
No, but it has to be 51%
corn. Correct.
For it to be bourbon.
Correct. But now we're talking. So this,
I've done my research.
Just so he knows, this in the U.S. we have to call a spirit distilled from agave.
Right.
So obviously we call it our tequila, but we call it kind of our play on tequila. We call it an agave spirit.
I almost got too happy. I just started to taste it. I didn't nose it.
This is one of my favorite things that we make.
It seemed like it has a soft side to it.
For the proof, this is insane.
Really?
Yes. This is for an agave. This is no joke. I'm a big fan of this. And the way it sells.
Holy crap!
There's a lot of people that are a big fan of this.
Holy crap! I can see why. Myra, yeah, you need to get your hands on this. She said, I need to get the bottle. I need the information, please. So here we are, San Diego Distillery. And I know Myra's not local, she's in Rhode Island.
Oh, man.
But I will get you in contact some kind of way, Myra.
We are. With our state license, we are not allowed to ship, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But if she happened to know a mule or somebody who can send her bottles,
can you say mule on TV?
I think so.
We'll find out.
somebody can do something here or there. You
right.
Know,
with
our whiskey ends up all over the U.S. and sometimes the world but not because of us. I'd like to say that.
I wonder why. This is good though, Trent. This is like I say, it's a little bit softer than what I would take for an agave.
We wanted to make, once again, a super approachable And I've had more people say, oh, I can't do it, tequila. I've had way too many Patron shots in my life. And I said, I don't care about that.
Right.
Just revisit this. Come on. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll take a bottle. Maybe two. Maybe three.
Yeah, this is worth. This is worth.
I wanted like a family pairing.
Right. Sancho.
I got to figure something out, but I don't know what it'd be yet. So yeah. I'm working on that one.
Heck yeah.
It's in the pipeline, whatever.
That one may have to be a little bit stronger, huh?
Yeah, possibly. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Hmm. Myra said, please, Leo, pair it. Okay, I will. I will put that out. I'm going to have to pick up a bottle and do the pairing.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
Man. So we're getting down to the last of the second, third. I'm trying to hold my cigar. Yours isn't blowing up, but it's definitely canoeing. Mine is tending to blow up a little bit. I'm confused.
I think you're supposed to have this part actually on the bottom, right?
That'd be correct.
Right? Yeah. I think we talked about that last time, and they never made any sense to me, but let's try it, see what happens.
Well, what happens is that it's all fire, right? We're doing nothing but burning tobacco, burning leaves. So as you smoke your cigar, what I tend to tell people is that you want to rotate your cigar. So with every draw, rotate it just a quarter.
Okay.
And whenever you're trying to sit it down on the ashtray, you want to find the longest point of the wrapper and set it down towards the bottom of the ashtray.
Okay, right. Okay.
Because what happens is that to make fire, we need oxygen,
some fuel source,
yep. Right? So the oxygen is going to flow up underneath the ashtray and hit the bottom of that cigar.
And then help light some of the...
And it helps keep it lit. That's right. Okay. Yep. Cool. That's exactly what happens.
That makes sense.
So, cigar smoking 101, people. I always do it. So, last week on the show, I went through some birthdays for Black History. And I ended up with Gary Coleman.
Oh.
Yeah, Gary Coleman was February 8th, and he passed away May 2010. But tomorrow is Arsenio Hall's birthday.
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
I just watched Coming to America the other day.
You know they're making a two, right?
Yes, I did hear this. I hear this drama. Can't wait to see how that's going to end up.
Have you seen his stand-up?
I have seen some of it. Yeah.
I didn't like him until the end. I mean, that's when he started talking about, I guess you can say, how old he was, you know, and how technology and things have grown since then. So that was pretty funny. Michael Jordan, one of the greats, basketball player.
When's his birthday?
February 17th.
Dang.
February 17th.
Who else you got? Who do you got on the 25th?
The 25th? No one.
Oh, that's my birthday. So I was hoping you had somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rashida Jones.
Who's that?
She's an actress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's an actress. But, so on the 18th, we got Toni Morrison, and, I'll save for the rest for, next week's show.
Cool.
Got some real good ones, coming up very soon. So I'm going to do it, you know, week by week.
Yeah.
And,
I'll follow you on that.
Put some of those birthdays out. One of my other guests last week, he beat me to the punch and started rattling off names. I was like, hey, man, slow down. Like,
stop, wait a minute. You're stealing my bits. You're stealing my bits. I know. Come on.
My man, Ron McGill, he's always good. So we got one and last final left. And we've had this one before. And this is actually one of my favorites because I am not a proponent of this spirit, but I like yours.
Did we? I don't remember if this is the one that we did or not.
Oh, we did.
I've got to get a business call real quick.
Sir.
But I'm going to give you a pour of this real quick,
mm-hmm.
and then
mm-hmm.
we will come back and we can discuss what this was.
Got it. You guys have no idea how fantastic these are. These spirits are, and Trent is so approachable, as you guys can see. He's very knowledgeable. Trent and I talked last time off camera, and he has a ton of knowledge with the spirit industry that if you guys need any kind of information, please reach out to him. Like I said, he's very approachable. He'll give you what knowledge that he has. He will not share his secrets. That's one thing I've tried to get out of him before, but he will not share that secret, which I totally 100% respect. But San Diego Distillery, and I'm going to get you guys a live view of the rest of the place. Right now, we're just sitting in the back where all the magic actually happens. But he does have a tasting room which has all of his spirits. He does mixed cocktails as well. And again, like he said, they're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're going to try to set up some kind of a tasting here as well with Trent. So again, I want to thank you letting us come in and taste some of your fine spirits. And they are literally fine. This has been wonderful. And thank you for letting us come in and talk about a little bit of Black history with you. Sure. A little bit of spirit knowledge as well. So it's been fun again. And you guys, it's sunny outside. At least in San Diego it is.
Enjoy the day. It's beautiful.
Time to go enjoy the day. But I'm probably going to pick up a bottle and enjoy the rest of my day. So you guys have fun. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Take care. See you guys on flip side. You guys look out for that.
We're gonna make a sale real quick. See, we're so popular, people show up just to buy bottles.
That is awesome.
So it's really nice. So I'm gonna record a podcast here too. So
we love everything live. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. See, so somebody's coming in looking for a beer whiskey.
There it
is. And what do you think they're gonna end up with?
I'd say give them the quaff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. So come on over here real quick.
I have learned. So. No, you guys know that I love doing a live show. I do not stop the recording. What happens, happens. I do not edit. What you guys see, you will see time and time again as long as you guys check back in. But I'm going to nose this brandy once again. I do not like brandy, and that's what this one is. So this one is says it's extra peated, and it's aged for 40 months. And this one is actually 110 proof, so 55% alcohol. So you guys can take a look there. I like all of Trent's labels. They're pretty much standard across the board, but he has, like you've seen with the Sancha, with the Japanese whiskey, the Amaro. So he does have some different labels for some, but most of his labels will all look like this that says San Diego Distillery. And it'll tell you exactly what kind of spirit that it is, whether it be brandy, whether it be whiskey, whether it be peated, whether it be scotch, or what have you. He definitely puts it out there, lets you guys know exactly what it is. So, on the nose, and I think I told Trent this last time, it kind of smells like paint. But it's good. It's good. It gives you that flavor, and I don't remember what he told me that it was, but I'm definitely going to ask him as soon as he comes back. But it definitely gives me that strong sense of paint. But it doesn't taste like paint, trust me. This is delicious. And I think it's probably going to come from the peat, which everyone knows that peat moss has a strong flavor once you add water to it. But the taste, I do not like brandy, you guys, but this is delicious. This is delicious. That's the Japanese. This is great. It almost puts me in the mind of a scotch because of the peatiness, but it's not as that strong peat that you would normally taste as if you were drinking like a Laphroaig or an Ardbeg or something like that. So it's fantastic. Hopefully you guys get a chance to enjoy it.
Okay.
So since he's made the $1,000 sale, he can give us a bottle for free. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But we were talking about the brandy, and I made a statement, and I, like I said, I think I told you this before the last time, is that on the nose, it kind of gives me that kind of paint kind of smell.
Correct.
And I don't know exactly where that's coming from. And
like I'm going to explain why.
I think it's the peat, but I don't know. So here's the man. He's going to give us the explanation.
So once again, we do something weird that I don't know anybody else in the world that's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
We did a brandy and then aged it in our own peated barrels.
That's
exactly where this comes from.
I was right. Look at me. I've learned.
So this was 40 months.
Yeah.
So 3.5 years, 100% in one of our ex-peated barrels. So I'm not the biggest fan of brandy either, to be honest. That's why a lot of it turns into our Amaro. But I thought the idea of doing some brandy with like that touch of smoke might change that into something totally different.
Right.
And I think it did. I think it's pretty awesome.
This is awesome. Now, what I will say is that it does not pair with this, but I got a cigar that it will.
You always got something that's going to pair with something.
Cigar that it will. So, I don't know. I don't want to compare it to a scotch, but I'll be damned if it is not close.
It has that quality because it's not overly peated.
Right.
It's like a really nice, almost like a blended scotch where they blend in just that touch of that hair of smoke.
Right.
To give you that nice quality.
And I love it. I love it. Well, if you guys don't have any questions out there, I know I don't. If I do have any questions, I'm going to get them answered off air. But I do want to thank you guys for joining me today. Thank you, Trent, for having me come back in, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
This is awesome. I like the new things that are coming out. And I know that you're going to do well with it. And I definitely love coming here. I need to come more often. And
you're welcome. Everybody's welcome whenever they like. You especially. You're welcome anytime.
I appreciate the love that I get.
Anytime.